Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We are joined by Rowan Scarborough, one of the great investigative reporters of our time. He is these days hailing from the Washington Times, where he covers the national security beat, along with his friend and our former guest, Bill Gertz. He is the author of Rumsfeld's War and Sabotage, two terrific books on the way Washington works, or doesn't, as the case may be. Rowan, it's so good to have you with us. Welcome back.
Frank, thank you very much.
You have an interesting and wide-ranging portfolio, and I'd like to pick up with you on something we were talking about earlier in the program with Hans von Spakovsky, Rowan, and that is, as you've reported, 20 months on, there still isn't any hard verification of the kinds of claims that were made in the dossier that set in train, well, this witch hunt, I think it's fair to call it, of Donald Trump and alleged collusion with the Russians. At the same time, there is an enormous amount of evidence, and it seems to be growing by the day, that the Obama administration and or the Clinton campaign, the Democratic National Committee, were actively colluding with the Russians through a number of channels. Talk about how it is we've gotten so wildly off what would seem to be a really fruitful and important investigative line in favor of one that seems to be bearing no fruit at all.
It's one of the big ironies of Washington, isn't it, that they've got scores of FBI agents and prosecutors and the SEC and everything looking at trying to prove this dossier, either with search warrants or countless interviews. And the point of my story is to try to separate all the fluff that is in Christopher Steele's writings and peel off and look at the actual allegations of collusion that he has meandering all through there. And what I came up with 10, and I cannot find any legal proof or public proof or even a leak that any of these allegations are true. For example, that Paul Manafort organized the hacking of Democratic Party computers with the Russians. I've seen no proof of that. Manafort says the charge is ridiculous. He hasn't been charged. He was indicted for something unrelated, money laundering. And when the hacking began by the Russians, I mean, that was a year before he joined the campaign. And then the allegation that the Trump campaign actually logistically did the hacking with the Kremlin. Now, Frank, you know Washington, and you know how this press corps is after the White House. Don't you think if that was true, by 20 months of investigations, there would be a leak saying that the Trump team did this? How much the FBI embraced this dossier, it permeated their mindset. It permeated their interviews. They became dead set on trying to prove this document. Talk about tunnel vision. And I think, but it's pointed out, Bob Woodward read it and went on national TV a day later and said, this is a garbage document.
Well, I guess to be clear, Rowan Scarborough, that there were people inside the FBI who were obsessing with it on it and certainly were promoting it for their own purposes. I'm not sure that the FBI as an institution was all in for it, but the key people in their leadership certainly were. And that's what's so worrying, as we were talking about with Hans. It really clearly became the case, I think it's fair to say now on the basis of all the evidence, that the Bureau was weaponized for political warfare as a result of the preoccupation with the dossier and the key people embracing it in the leadership of the organization. Let me turn to one other related topic you've been also reporting on, Rowan, and that is that the president's legal team is now working on trying to make sure that the president is not subjected to an interview by Robert Mueller. It certainly seems, with all we know about the Mueller investigation at this point, that that shouldn't be done. What do you think is likely to happen in that regard? The president said he's willing to do it. He'd love to do it, as a matter of fact, under oath, no less, provided his counsel approves, which is an important caveat. Where are we going on that?
I think, obviously, there's a disagreement between his lawyers and Trump and how to proceed on this. But, it would be very dangerous for him to sit down with Mueller or some of the other prosecutors. Because let's face it, did these prosecutors give up their private, lucrative private law practices to come over to the special counsel and not try to nab big targets? I think that that's what they're trying to do. And I think that Peter Strzok wrote about that in one of his messages to his lover, that he didn't want to go to an investigation where there wasn't big game to hunt. And so the White House team has basically come up with three arguments. One of them is that there's just no crime. There's no proof of any crime being committed. Another argument is that appeals court in the district has already ruled in a Bill Clinton case that the White House does not have to turn over everything that a prosecutor demands. And that would include, interviewing the president. And he would subject himself because the whoever interviews him would be absolutely steeped in chronology, interviews, memos, everything about this case going back for a year or 2 years. And they would start throwing this stuff at the president about individual meetings and what you said and what did somebody else say. And that's commonly referred to as a perjury trap.
Let me ask you about one other piece of your reporting recently, Rowan Scarborough, and that is this issue that has arisen about Robert Porter's security clearances and the prism that has created for examining what's going on in terms of lots of people in the U.S. government at the moment who, I guess, are working with interim secret clearances and nothing more because of a backlog in background investigations. What's going on there, and how much of a problem is it for the administration?
Well, this played out in the first year of the Clinton administration also, when they had people that had no interim security clearances that were doing sensitive jobs, much less an interim one. And this process is so draped in secrecy because it involves very sensitive things about a person's life in a personnel file. And by law, those are protected. And you can be charged criminally if you disclose something that's in a personnel file. So what I'm trying to say, Frank, is it's very difficult to understand exactly why there is such a backlog. But the FBI does not assign a lot of people to this chore, and it's very tedious to go through, but basically do a biography of each of the 1,000 people who need a clearance in the White House. So they give them interim, and then they go about doing their investigations. And when you have people coming in like Trump does, who have had varied careers in business and government, and there's a lot of things to check out. And with the Porter case, if they're telling the truth, then we have to assume it took a lot of time. He denied the charges, and then the FBI report went to White House security, and they were not ready to make a recommendation. Now, in the real politic world, with the Me Too generation, something tells me that somewhere along the line, someone would have said, accused of spousal abuse, he needs to go. But it's not DNI Director Coates testified that the government-wide backlog of applications is 700,000. So that tells you there are a lot of people in the government right now with interim security clearances because of the task involved and the manpower involved.
Yeah. And, one of the things that I recall vividly back in the Clinton administration, in fact, was they set their sights on trying to cut that backlog down. It was pretty substantial then, maybe even larger then. They contracted it out. One of the companies that they contracted it out to was U.S. Investigations Services, or USIS. And there were a number of congressional reports done that found that these guys had, in fact, flushed background investigations, meaning that they didn't actually conduct them. They just processed the paperwork as though they had, which is a security problem in its own right, needless to say. We have to leave it at that. Rowan, there's so much more to talk with you about. I hope you come back to us again very soon. In the meantime, have a great weekend, my friend, and thanks for the work you do at the Washington Times. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.